Good morning. Here we are. It's the last Sunday of 2025, between Christmas and New Year and Christmas, because we have Armenian Orthodox Christmas yet to come. So a time for us to reflect on the last year, to think about the new year, even as Brother Alex was mentioning earlier, a time for us to reflect and to think forward. As we come now to the Word, let me lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church that you have established, for the gifting that you have given it. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us by your work, by your blood on the cross. You have sealed us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you be here with us this morning? As we ponder your word, would you fill it? Would you illuminate the word that you inspired so long ago, that we would not only hear it and understand it, we would trust it because we trust you and follow after you. Be with me, Lord. Help me to be careful with your word. It is so precious. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a little earlier than we usually start preaching, so I guess I have a long time to talk. But it is a time to reflect and dedicate this new year to the Lord in everything that we do. And so if we look out at what the world is doing to set goals, all kinds of things come to mind. Get healthy. Just watch the TV. Weight Watchers is all over there. The gyms, they make a lot of money this time of year. Self-improvement of all kinds. Maybe you're thinking, it's time for me to improve my financial situation. Or maybe there's some resolutions you've made. Stop gossiping this year. Maybe I'm going to travel someplace new that I haven't been before. Something terrible for me to think about is clearing out the clutter from the garage. You can call 1-800-GET-JUNK for that. I'm going to give up on social media. No, I did that some time ago. Maybe you're thinking I'm going to go to the dentist on time this year. Or maybe not, I'll clean the car this year and vacuum it out. These goals have merit always. They help us deal with situations that we encounter in this life, all about what we can do to help ourselves out in this life. But brothers and sisters in Christ, Christian motivation is quite different and beyond those goals of the unbelieving world. They're centered on our relationship with Jesus Christ, redeemed in him. We have hope in him. We're called to live out lives in godly wisdom from the Lord, called to live out our lives being led by the Holy Spirit. And so being led by the Holy Spirit, we have to remain flexible. We don't know what the Lord may have planned for us. Maybe another better plan for us to follow. Not like the Hobbit's unexpected journey, but it may be unexpected and wonderful. James, the brother of Jesus, has this famous passage from chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." In the passage that I've chosen today, the Apostle Paul calls us to reflect on our before Christ life, to think about who we used to be, self-seeking, foolish, immoral. And he calls us now to be very careful with the time that has been given to us, to be guided by godly wisdom and to be filled with the Spirit. So I titled this sermon, Walking in Wisdom. I thought maybe I should say, call it How to Be a Wise Guy, but I thought, no, maybe that wasn't the right thing to call it. So a little background. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians from prison. We think probably he was in Rome. He had spent 3 years in Ephesus, evangelizing, training believers, and in fact, we hear that that area of Asia, that province of Asia, that whole eastern third of what is now Turkey, heard the gospel. He loved those people who were there. We see the pastor's heart in Paul in all of his writings. He faced a lot of persecution while he was there, but stuck it out. He knew the trials and the temptations of the believers there, living in this immoral society. And he was writing to encourage them to keep their faith in Christ Jesus and to live that faith out. Friends, you look around, our society is just as fallen as that around Paul in Ephesus. And yet we've been saved for this day and put here in this place in this time for God's purpose to reach the world who needs to hear now and around us so desperately. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul, what Pastor Jason would call the indicative, reminds them of the great grace that has been given to us. Redeemed and adopted as God's own children by His grace and His mercy. He reminds us that we were dead in our sins, alienated from God, walking dead, if you will, but now alive and with a purpose to worship, to serve, to live life in peace and unity with one another and with God, unified in Christ Jesus. He reminds us from the beginning, and I'll read for you a couple of passages from the beginning of the letter. From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." And later in that same chapter, verses 11 through 14, he says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." This is who we are. We hear from these passages, and Paul was reminding us that God, our Father, has chosen us from eternity past, that we were predestined by the Father to be redeemed and adopted as sons and daughters through Christ Jesus by his work on the cross. And we are sealed now in our redemption as sons and daughters through the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful, friends, that the sovereign and only God knows us, knows me, and has blessed us, blessed me in redemption as his own child. May we all comprehend the depth of this blessing. As I first read these, and as you may know, I've just completed in our adult study class, Ephesians. When I read through this, I was taken, so taken by it. And my prayer was, may I understand this? And what I found right after was Paul was praying exactly for the readers to understand what this means. It's beyond my comprehension, and I am thankful. So in the next three chapters of this epistle, the Apostle Paul calls us now that you know who you are, live it out. And he starts out in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and he says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So grab your Bibles, your phones, or there's pew Bibles there, your tablets. If you haven't memorized, that's even better. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start and look from verse 15 through 21. This is a call to live in wisdom. Paul says there, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So the first three verses here, walk in wisdom, Paul calls us to, and it brings me to my first point. I only have two, some subpoints, that true wisdom comes from the Lord. We know, and we remember as we read through this, who we used to be before we came to trust the Lord Jesus. Used to walk in what we thought was wisdom, driven by our own desires and ambitions. But now that we know Christ and are alive in Him, we know that what we thought was wise is actually unwise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 20 says, Paul says there, he says, "For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." So God here encourages us to walk carefully. He to focus on abandoning our old selves, which still hangs around, unfortunately, too much, and live out our faith. Paul later calls us to be filled with the Spirit. One thing to know what the Lord is calling us to, it's another thing to obey. Our natural desires, which are unwise, urge us to sin. But the Spirit informs us and leads us and empowers us to push back. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to." Thank you, Holy Spirit. We have decisions to make, friends. We can choose to ignore God's wisdom that comes to us as His children. We can choose to satisfy our own fleshly desires, or we can choose to follow Christ, to be thankful for God's guidance in our lives, leading us out of danger. As Christians, we're called to know wisdom and to be wise, not for worldly fools. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we live out our lives as Paul is calling us to be living out our lives worthy of our calling as God's own, taking care how we walk, thinking carefully about our plans, our decisions, about everything in our lives, and being open to what God would lead us to. Living out worldly foolishness will never bring us lasting joy, will never bring us peace, will never bring us true and lasting satisfaction. Can't come from our hands. They're only found in the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. Friends, God's wisdom is practical. To be at peace with God is truly satisfying, truly joyful in all things. Paul, I know I keep referring to elsewhere in Paul, but listen what he says in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through 18. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Paul here tells us in today's passage that there are two things that the wise and the Lord do. The first is that they make the most use of their time. As God's children, taking the fullest possible advantage of the time and opportunity that's given to us in the Lord. Well, from my perspective now, with 7 decades behind me, and I don't know, maybe another 1 or 2 in front of me, it does seem short. The time does seem short. Why should we do this? Because the days are evil, Paul tells us. Look around. It is, in fact, evil. The best use of our limited time to redeem these evil times for the Lord is what he has given us, to do his work, to bring the good news to a needy, broken world. Let us make haste. I believe it is for this reason that the church exists in this age. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Friends, with regard to time, let us take full advantage of the time given to us. Let us set the Lord as our priority, not ourselves. He has given us everything that we could possibly want eternally. We need to be ready to set our own ambitions aside where there's any conflict between what the Lord would lead us to. Why? We want the world to know Jesus. We want the world to know salvation. We want the world to find the peace that we have with God. The work of God is for eternal peace. We have a choice to make, to follow the Lord or to satisfy our own desires. There is one way for us. The second thing that wise believers do is to know the will of the Lord. And the wisdom of God comes to us through his word, illuminated by the Holy Spirit. It comes to us by the Spirit that indwells within us, that guides us. And it comes to us through fellowship, through our fellowship with godly, wise Christians that we know and trust and can share our lives with. Our dedication to the Word of God helps us understand the general will of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to know the particular will of God for each of our lives, each gifted differently, each called to ministry a little differently, but fit together by God himself. And each one of you has been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Each one of you has been called to a particular ministry. Excuse me. Knowing the will of God and doing it is where true wisdom is. Bringing peace with God, true joy and satisfaction in this life, but not just in this life, forever, for eternity. In the second part of this passage, verses 18 through 21, I'll read it again. And he says there, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and giving melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And so my second point, with some subpoints, is be filled with the Spirit. Let me give you a little background in Ephesus. In Ephesus, drunkenness was part of the cult worship of Dionysus. They held that drunkenness was a means of inspiration, and it was part of their morally corrupt worship. Even more than that, drunkenness was just part of the culture there. Even the Romans were a little bit disgusted by it. It was so rampant. The Apostle Paul says, don't get drunk. They are to be separated from this society that's around them, not out of it, but separate wholly from it, and that they must reflect Christ in this way. Rather than losing self-control to intoxication, They were to be filled with the Spirit. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we're able to know the will of God. Furthermore, we are empowered to do the will of God in mind and intellect, in our very spirit. So rather than losing control to intoxicants of any kind, I don't care what they are, alcohol, drugs, or anything else that distracts you and helps you lose control, they need to be set aside. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." What a privilege to be known by God and to be indwelt by His Holy Spirit, to be renewed from the inside out and be guided by God Himself. Maybe you say, "Well, Holy Spirit? Me?" Yeah, all true believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be tuned in and listening and ready to follow. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." We've got to be dedicated to listening and following the Holy Spirit. Earlier in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he warns them not to grieve the indwelt Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, just in the chapter before this, he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We can grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what it is that He is calling us to. We can push back. "I want my own way. I know what I want." You ever push the Holy Spirit away, deciding to do what you want rather than what you knew was right? I have. And it was horrible. We call that sin. What did it result in? What I wanted? To be satisfied? No. Sorrow, regret, and regret that I had offended my Savior and God. I doubt anybody could claim that they've never pushed back. We have a promise. We have a call, and we have a promise that we have a Lord. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us. He calls us back to Himself. In the verse just before today's verse, Paul calls us to arise from our old ways, from sinfulness, to expose the light of God's truth. He says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." He goes on then, and he explains to us in the last part of this passage, today's passage, what happens to us when we're filled and led by the Holy Spirit. And I will call it in one word, joy. And he cites four things in which our inner joy, this renewed heart, exhibits itself in the believer's life. And the first one, he talks about Christian fellowship, worshiping together in ways that build one another up. If you listen to the words that we were singing this morning, we are declaring the goodness and greatness of God in much of it. And who are we speaking to? To God, yes, but to one another, reminding ourselves of who God is and His glory and His greatness. We praise God together here at the Mount Bible Church in ways that do that, that remind us of who God is. We have readings together. The whole liturgy, in fact, is planned to focus us as a community on Christ, what God has done, and declaring His glory and greatness to one another. Our time of worship and fellowship, in fact, do that and build up this community of believers. One of the things why it is, or one of the reasons why it is so precious to me, and I'm sure to you as well, is that we're here together in this mutual worship being built up. Our pastor, our worship pastor, Pastor Haig, he takes great care in choosing our worship songs, coordinating our worship songs, in fact, our entire liturgy, so that what we sing and speak are praiseful and build one another up in faith. The very theme of our Christian fellowship needs to be centered on our thankfulness for the mercy and grace of our God toward us, and reflecting that towards one another. What a joy to worship and fellowship together. The second result of being Spirit-filled that Paul brings us to is our focus on praising God himself from our hearts, from our spirits. Spirit-filled praise toward God in song, singing from our very hearts, filled with joy, knowing who we are, knowing what God has done for us. Now, maybe you're like me, and singing is a struggle. Sometimes my singing sounds like a student making their first notes on a cheap clarinet. Yet, friends, whether you have a wonderful voice like our brother Steve Avanesian, or any of the people from the worship team, I like to sit next to Steve because when he's singing, I sing better. Or if you've got an out-of-tune voice like mine, friends, God accepts our praise given from the Spirit, from the heart. Jesus tells us in John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, he says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Let us worship our God together from the joy that wells up from our hearts that is given to us by God. The third result that Paul tells us about of being filled with the Spirit is contentment and thankfulness towards God in Christ. Thankfulness for everything. So in this, we need to measure our hearts. Are we grumbling about our situation? Are we filled with the complaining spirit? If so, we need to stop and understand and reflect on the great gift of Christ and the eternal salvation that he has given us at great cost. In Christ, we have been given a rich life, an eternal life that is beyond any difficulty or situation that we might face in this life. James, the brother of Jesus, in his epistle, verses 2 and 4, he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Does this mean that being Spirit-filled is going to make me happy about everything that happens? No, not at all. But we can be thankful in everything, knowing that we are in the hands of our sovereign God who works everything for our good. There are heroes of faith among us in this regard who have gone through and are going through difficulties, but yet are joyful. You know, my daughter-in-law, our church administrator, church office manager, Amanda, who's going through difficulties, and yet she is a joyful person to be around. Why? Because there is joy in her heart that wells up in her relationships. And the fourth result of being Spirit-filled that he talks about is that we're submitted to one another. This joy that fills us, this thankfulness that fills us, brings us to honor and around us and care around, honor those around us and care for them as Christ loves us. And we're called to reflect Christ in our relationships. Verse 21 here is really the introduction to the rest of the letter, in which Paul calls us to Christian love and respect as husbands and wives, as children and parents, as workers and masters, and all that for another time, not today, but there's much there. But to give a summary to it, Paul here in those passages through the end of this, through the end of the book, really is asking us to reflect Christ's and his relationship toward the church and the church's submittal to Christ, to care for one another. We know and we submit to Christ because we know he loves us and has given us everything. Christ died and was self-sacrificial for the church. And this should be a model for our relationships with one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as I pondered these words to prepare for this message, I was encouraged to carefully consider what I'm looking forward to this next year. Let us consider God's call to each one of us, to live wisely, to know what the Lord's will is, to live it out by the inspiration and the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let each one of us be encouraged to live out our lives in a manner that is worthy of this great calling that God has called us to. God brings us joy and peace out of his love for us. Maybe some of these words are a little foreign to you. Maybe they're encouraging to you to seek Christ. Maybe you've never come to trust the Lord with your life. Maybe you're still living your life without Christ, trying to make sense out of things by your own wisdom. Friends, today is the day to seek peace with God. By the very grace of God, he comes to us and he calls us to himself. If that is what you're feeling today, God is working in your heart already, calling you to Christ. And then, friends, if that is the case, let this be the day of your salvation by the mercy of God. We're available. The elders, the deacons, the connect table, your best friend who brought you to church today, to encourage you and guide you along this path that Christ is calling you to. Let me pray for us as I finish. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have made a provision for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you've known us from eternity past. Thank you, Lord, that you have sealed us in this redemption that you have given us by your Holy Spirit. You have given us wisdom. Wisdom that comes from knowing your will. Called us to wise living that we may make you, Lord, our priority, guided by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that while we were unable before, you have made us able to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.